Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for these gifts of grace which you bestowed upon us and give back only a portion of that which you have given. Bless the hearts and the hands who have given, Lord, and have a special anointing on those who wanted to give but could not. Lord, we ask that you use these gifts of grace for the strengthening of ministry here at Gila Mountain United Methodist Church for this kingdom and the next one to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Many of you may not know it, but Eve was the first one in the garden. Caught your attention? And one day Eve was praying to God, and Eve said, "Lord, I love the fact that you've put me in a beautiful garden and all these animals around here, especially that hilarious snake. But I'm so tired of eating apples." And the Lord responded to her, "Eve," she said, "Yes, here I am, Lord." He says, "I hear your prayer. I think I'm going to bring to you this creature that I call man." She said, "Lord, what is man?" He said, "Well, man is a fairly peculiar creature. And he sometimes acts in very childish ways and likes to fight. Sometimes doesn't have good reasons for doing things. So he'll need your advice on a lot of stuff. But man is also going to be bigger and stronger than you are, and he can hunt and fish, and you won't have to rely upon eating apples." And Eve says, "That sounds wonderful." And then she said, "What's the catch, Lord?" And so then God answered and said, "Well, because man is so vain, you'll have to let him think that he was the very first one here in the garden. It'll just be our little secret, you know, woman to woman." I hear a lot of women clapping and applauding, not a lot of the men. I thought this was a good joke because this has to do with this week's scripture. This is the first week in Lent, and it's the very first week in which we always have Jesus who is tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Usually in the first week of Lent, we have this scripture. And so I wanted to talk about that because the other text that we use on this Sunday is the text of the Genesis of Adam and Eve. This is the scripture in which Jesus is led out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and is insistently being tempted by, Matthew calls it the tempter. We know that also is the devil or Satan. Got a question for you. Who did someone give up something for Lent? Anybody give up something for Lent in here? One person. Couple over here, yeah. I gave up social media. Now, folks, I can tell you right now, I get on Facebook a lot because that's the way that I keep in touch with a lot of people and a lot of clergy and a lot of even you all in here. Sometimes I'll like your comments. But I have very strong political opinions. If where I think something is unjust or not right or where I think something is right, and every time I hear of something of political interest, I am tempted to tap the button on my phone or on my tablet. My point is that even if you give something up, folks, temptation is all around us. Temptation is all around us. And I've always said, I don't think it's a sin to be tempted. But when we take it a step further and we act on our temptations, that's where we find ourselves in dangerous territory, when we act on those temptations. In today's text, Jesus is tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights? And one of the first things that we recognize is when Satan comes to Jesus, he immediately, on his very first word, we can see how condescending and manipulative this creature is. If, not because, if you are the Son of God, command these stones into bread. I can only imagine when you haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, you're very hungry. I know when I get hungry, I am tempted to buy everything in the grocery store. Folks, don't ever go to the grocery store while you're hungry. When we're hungry, it does something to us mentally and emotionally and physically. I get ill when I'm hungry. And there Jesus was, having not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And what is the tempter first? What is the first temptation? food, right? Bread. And it's almost as if Satan is saying, if, as if to say, prove to me that you're God's son. One of the things that I love about Jesus, the more I read my scripture, is that he did not get engaged in adversarial conversation. That's a temptation too. Anytime we hear any type of adversarial conversation, we want to get involved. Sometimes it's for the right reason. Sometimes we want to give our two cents, or sometimes we want to, if we hear something going wrong, we want to move it in the right direction. But Jesus never gets caught up in adversarial conversation. He simply moves forward. And so Jesus says these words. He says, man does not live by bread alone. Now, do you think this tempter stops there? No, he's still got several days to tempt Jesus. And so he gives a second temptation to Jesus. He says, if you are God's son, throw yourself down, for it is written, I will command these angels concerning you, and they will take up their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone. Did you notice that the tempter is well-versed in Scripture? That's scary, isn't it? The tempter knows Scripture in and out. But once again, Jesus avoids and resists the tempter's temptation. But did he stop there? No, of course not. He brings Jesus up to the top of a mountain, shows him the kingdom, and then says, I will give you all of these kingdoms if you bow down to me. And Jesus commands Satan to leave at once. When Christ was at his weakest point, when he was most vulnerable, when he was at a point in which he could have gone either direction, Jesus chose to stay loyal to doing the will of God. He chose to maintain the integrity of God by doing what was right. Now, on the same Sunday, there's an Old Testament lesson that we should be aware of. It comes from Genesis 3, and these are the words. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord had God had made. He said to the woman, did God say you shall not eat from the tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden. We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God says you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, or you shall die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that even when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. So the woman saw that the fruit was good, and it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, and she ate of its fruit, and she also gave some to her husband, and he ate as well. Humanity was tempted on how many occasions, folks? One. And we fell to our temptations. Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And on three occasions, he resisted evil. Do you see the contrast there, folks? Do you see the contrast where humanity was only tempted on one occasion? Jesus is being tempted insistently and yet continued not to do what was wicked. When I was a youth pastor in Ohio in seminary, I did a neighborhood outreach, community outreach project for kids in the projects, and it was a wonderful thing. I used to go pick them up in the projects and bring them back. And on one of the occasions, this girl named Keisha, who was always smiling when she came out to the van, these kids loved just getting away from the projects. She was frowning and coming down out very slowly. And I said, what's wrong, Keisha? Because I could just see it all over her face. She says, my mother broke up with another boyfriend, and I really liked this one. They were dating for 2 years, and then I don't know what happened, but he left, and he's not coming back. And then she hugged me. We hadn't turned on the van yet, and she just sat there and hugged me. She goes, David, how come if God's so perfect, he couldn't make a perfect world? My answer was, the truth of the matter was, Keisha, he did. God had a perfect world. Everything was in harmony. All we had to do was just not sin against God. And Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. And then everything spiraled into chaos. Do you see the contrast between these scriptures? In a single day, humanity was sinful. Now, there's a theology called the fall, which I believe, and many of you all believe, and that is that it wasn't just Adam and Eve that we can point our fingers to and say, you did this, but that since the fall of Adam and Eve, all, as Paul says, have fallen short of God's glory. All of us are in bondage to human sin. All of us have a sinful nature. All of us will have a tendency to be tempted and to act on our temptations. I think many of us see God as a divine scorekeeper. And that is, we do something wrong and God writes it down. And we hope that once we get to heaven that we don't have that we've done more good than we have done bad. But the truth of the matter is, folks, I don't believe that God's a divine scorekeeper. I think God sees the big things in life, but doesn't keep score of everything that we've done. But God knows that we're sinful. But God did this for us, folks. He sent himself into this world to be our divine intercessor. He sent himself down into the earth to walk the streets and walk the grounds and to be in conversation and community with people so that we could have someone who intercedes on our behalf. We cannot go back to the Garden of Eden, folks. We can try all we want. We can't give the apple back to the serpent. And in a real sense, folks, humanity, you and me, regardless of how moral or spiritual or ethical we are, we cannot get things right with God. We are all partakers of the forbidden fruit. This is why we have to have Jesus, folks. He is our divine channel. He is our intercessor. He is the only one who got things right with God, tempted 40 days and 40 nights, and did not fall short of that temptation. I truly believe that God wants everyone in this world. Jesus says it is your Father's good will to give you the keys to the kingdom. I believe that God wants everyone to be in right relationship with him. And we have that opportunity. But there is a necessity of Christ that we must have in order to make things right with God, to be in right relationship with God. We can't get things right with God. We're too drawn into our human sin. We're too drawn to our own temptations. But God invites all of us to live a more God-centered life by knowing Jesus Christ. To live a Christ-centered life and to know God through his life and his death and his resurrection. Alone we cannot achieve greatness or superiority. Alone we cannot achieve godliness. But regardless of how moral or ethical or spiritual we are still part of our own temptation and sin. And we have to have Jesus in our lives. We can do nothing great outside of Jesus Christ. You and I can achieve no quality of life worth living outside of Jesus Christ. We cannot achieve glory without Jesus Christ. We cannot achieve moral greatness without Jesus Christ. You and I cannot achieve ethical and religious greatness without Jesus Christ. We cannot achieve of a world of equality and true justice without the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have to have Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Master. He is our Savior. He is our only hope. Jesus Christ is our only hope. Let us pray. Lord God, you have put us in a world full of temptation. And yet, in the midst of that world, you have shown us greatness through your life and your death and your resurrection. And we know, Lord, that not only that you call us into ministry with you, but that you desire for us to go out into your world and to bring others into the kingdom. So, Lord, allow us to not be afraid to talk about your life and your death and your resurrection, but to take your divine command that we are to go to the ends of the earth and create disciples of all ages, nations. And so, Lord, it in doing so, allow us to never fall short of our presence with you. For alone we are tempted, and alone we are sinful. But with you, Lord, you center us with your life and your death and your resurrection, and you create godliness in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.